Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are diving into a really definitive spiritual work. It's from a global phenomenon, the late Dr. Wayne W. Dyer.
That's right.
We're cracking open his book, The Power of Awakening. And this one, it really marks his complete shift, you know, from self-help psychology into, well, profound spiritual guidance.
Yeah. And it's not just, you know, another motivation book. It's really Dyer's mature synthesis. It offers a clear path.
Yeah.
Guiding the reader out of an existence dominated by the ego.
Right, that constant need for more stuff, the fear, the separation.
Exactly, and moving toward a life that's naturally guided by the soul, or source, as he often calls it.
And I think that's why this deep dive is so, so important for you right now. Dyer tackles head-on what he called divine discontent.
Divine discontent.
Yeah, you know, we live in a world where so many people achieve external success, like the right career, the perfect family, they're financially stable, but they still feel this kind of chronic emptiness or anxiety or just a deep lack of meaning.
It's pretty common, isn't it?
It really is. And this book offers a radical solution to that, that widespread modern spiritual void. It basically says the answer isn't out there somewhere. It's fundamentally already inside us.
Okay, let's unpack this. To really grasp the importance of the message, I think we have to recognize the journey of the messenger himself. Dr. Wayne Walter Dyer lived from 1940 to 2015.
The father of motivation.
Right, that's the title here. And he started with a pretty rigorous academic background. He got his PhD in educational counseling.
Yeah.
And his early works, like Your Erroneous Zones, which was huge, they were based heavily on established psychological principles.
But what's really remarkable is his evolution, isn't it? His career and actually his personal life, too. It transitioned dramatically.
Yeah.
He kind of used that academic rigor to become this bridge for Western audiences. He started translating these, well, often complex philosophical concepts.
Sometimes quite esoteric stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Into wisdom that, you know, the average person could actually apply, like, right away.
He spent decades drawing from Eastern traditions. Things like Taoism, which is all about living in harmony with the natural flow, the way.
Mm-hmm.
And also Advaita Vedanta, that's the non-dual philosophy. It basically states the individual self is ultimately one with, you know, the supreme reality or God.
Right. Oneness.
Oneness. And what's fascinating here is his ability to take this non-dual framework, this idea of oneness, and make it feel practical. Really down to earth.
Especially considering his own background.
Yeah, especially given his own upbringing. He overcame huge adversity, grew up in foster homes, orphanages. He spoke as a guide who'd actually walk the path first. You feel that authenticity.
That background, it leads us straight into the core thesis of The Power of Awakening. Dyer says pretty clearly that true spiritual awakening isn't some like complicated mystical state just for a few gurus.
No, not at all.
It's simply the recognition of what's already there. Inside us. It's our natural birthright.
Inherently ours.
Right. So the work isn't about getting something new. It's about remembering who we actually are deep down.
And suffering we feel. The disconnection, the anxiety. He defines this as basically a product of identifying with the false self.
Which he calls the ego.
The ego, yeah. And that ego, he says, is fundamentally built on separation, on comparison, and this endless chase for external stuff. Accumulation.
It's that little voice in your head, right? Oh, always telling you you're lacking something, you're separate, you're not quite complete yet.
Constantly judging, yeah.
So the revolutionary premise here, it seems, is that the book aims to help us make a fundamental shift in identity.
A total shift.
Instead of seeing ourselves as these limited, separate beings who are always struggling against life.
Which is exhausting.
Totally. We're called to recognize ourselves as, well, infinite consciousness, just expressing itself through a human form.
And if you can accept that.
This struggle just eases up because you realize your struggles are just temporary human experiences, you know, not the core reality of who you are.
Right. So the goal then becomes really practical. It's about providing the clear wisdom needed to spot the ego's illusions day to day and making sure our actions actually line up with spiritual principles. So shifting our motivation away from ego stuff like ambition and fear towards soul-based living, which is more about meaning and service.
Okay, so let's dive into the structure of the book then. Dyer starts by systematically taking apart the ego in a section called The Anatomy of the False Self. And he's careful. He doesn't define ego as just arrogance. It's more fundamental. It's our identification with the material world, our job title, our bank balance, even our physical body. That identification is the main obstacle.
And he outlines six core ego beliefs that really trap us, keep us in these cycles of dissatisfaction and struggle. And they are super relatable.
Okay, what are they?
First one, I am what I have. This totally drives consumerism, right? We think if we just buy the next thing, we'll finally feel complete.
Been there?
Second, I am what I do. So our identity gets completely fused with our accomplishments, which leads to burnout or despair if we fail.
Yeah, or even if we succeed sometimes.
True. Third, I am what others think of me. This is basically social media validation in a nutshell, tying our peace of mind to what other people approve of.
Oof, that's a big one today, and it gets deeper, right?
It does. Fourth, I am separate from everyone else. This belief fuels competition, judgment, loneliness, all that stuff. Fifth, I am separate from what is missing. This is that core sense of lack, always chasing the next goal, hoping it'll fill some void inside.
The if only I had X feeling.
Exactly. And the sixth, which he says is kind of the root of all disconnection. I am separate from God or source. When we believe we're cut off from that universal intelligence, fear just takes over.
Wow. Okay, so those are the traps. How do we get out?
Well, often the only way we even start to question those six beliefs is through what he calls the call to awaken in suffering.
Right. Things have to get uncomfortable.
Pretty much. Dyer points out that these profound internal shifts, they rarely start when everything's easy and comfortable. They usually begin with that nagging, relentless longing for something deeper, that divine discontent you mentioned.
Unless something bigger happens.
Or a powerful catalyst, yeah. Like a crisis or some intense suffering.
He connects this to psychological wisdom too, right? Referencing Carl Jung's idea of the afternoon of life.
He does. The morning of life has been focused outward, building a career, getting possessions, maybe raising a family. But the afternoon, Jung suggested, requires turning inward, cultivating the soul, seeking meaning.
And suffering can be the alarm clock for that shift.
It really can. And crucially, Dyer teaches us to distinguish between pain and suffering. This is key.
Okay.
Pain, he says, is just the unavoidable cost of being human. Loss happens, illness happens, disappointment happens. Mm-hmm. But suffering. Suffering, he argues, is optional.
Optional.
Suffering is created by our internal resistance to the pain, to the circumstances as they are. If we can learn to accept the pain just as it is, without fighting it mentally, we dissolve the suffering attached to it.
That's powerful. Okay, so that leads us to the practical tools then. Section 3, the tools presence and surrendering the ego.
Exactly.
Dyer says the main gateway, maybe the only gateway to this awakened state is simply presence, being here now.
Right. It's not enough to just think about spirituality or read about it. You have to actually be present, moment to moment. That's the only place, the only time where the ego's grip on you actually fades.
But then there's the tough one, especially for us in the West, I think. Surrender.
Oh, yeah. That word pushes buttons.
It really does. It challenges our whole cultural conditioning of, you know, hustling, being in control, making things happen.
Oh, but Dyer is really clear here. Surrender is not passive defeat. It's not apathy or giving up.
So what is it then?
It's releasing the need to be right all the time. Releasing the need to control specific outcomes. Letting go of our attachment to external validation to how things should turn out.
I think the challenge is that we confuse surrender with stopping all effort. But that's not it.
Not at all. Dyer encourages effort, inspired action. But it's effort without that desperate attachment to the result. It's about recognizing, maybe trusting, that there's an intelligence greater than our small ego self that's also at play, guiding things. That distinction is absolutely key.
Okay. And central to being able to surrender like that is understanding the power of your mind.
Yes. Dyer insists, and this is a core message in many of his books, that our thoughts literally create our reality, or at least our experience of reality.
So we have to stop identifying with limiting thoughts.
We have to. We need to become aware to catch ourselves when we say things internally like, oh, I'm so unlucky, or I'm just not good enough, or this will never work out.
And then what?
And then consciously choose thoughts that are aligned with peace, with abundance, with wholeness. Stop reinforcing the limitations.
Okay. So once that internal work starts to take hold, the outer life begins to transform, which brings us to the last major section, the awakened life from ambition to meaning.
Right. The motivation itself shifts entirely.
Ambition, in Dyer's view, is basically the ego's game, isn't it? That endless self-centered drive to get more for itself, more money, more power, more fame, and it's all based on that feeling of lack we talked about.
Exactly. Meaning, on the other hand, is that profound sense of purpose that comes from giving and service.
So the central question changes.
Completely flips.
Yeah.
The ego is always asking, what can I get? How can I fill this void? But the soul's purpose is geared towards, how can I serve? How can I contribute?
And here's where the insight gets really practical, I think. Dyer argues that service isn't some chore you should do. It's the natural, almost effortless expression of an awakened consciousness.
Yes.
And when you operate from that place of service, things like abundance and fulfillment, they tend to flow naturally without you having to force it or stress about it.
Like his analogy of the orange tree. Its purpose is simply to give its juice away.
Yeah.
It doesn't struggle or strategize to be fruitful. It just is. And that lack of resistance, that giving, is what opens the door to receiving everything it needs.
That's a great image.
Okay.
Let's try and distill these powerful ideas down into the key themes, the things that really define Dyer's message in this book.
All right. Well, the first one has to be awakening as natural state recognition. He just hammers this home.
Yeah.
He constantly challenges what some call spiritual materialism.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that you have to achieve enlightenment through fancy retreats or complex rituals or years of difficult practice.
He says it's simpler.
Much simpler. Awakening is just recognizing the inherent perfection and wholeness that's already here, within you, now.
And that recognition immediately dissolves the second big theme, the illusion of separation.
Right. The ego creates separation from other people, from nature, from the divine, from ourselves even. And that feeling of separation, Dyer argues, is the root cause of pretty much all conflict and suffering.
So recognizing our interconnectedness.
Recognizing that we are all essentially interconnected parts of the same whole, the same consciousness that naturally generates compassion and peace. How can you hate someone you realize is fundamentally part of you?
And this idea of oneness, how do we access it? That brings us to the third theme, presence as the gateway.
Absolutely. As we discussed, almost every genuine spiritual practice, stripped down, points back to simple present moment awareness.
Being right here.
Being right here. Because the moment you are truly present, fully present, you actually cannot feel anxiety because anxiety lives in the future. And you can't feel regret because regret lives in the past. In the present moment, you just are. The ego chatter quiets down.
And finally, he really demystifies the divine within. He makes it accessible.
He really does. Dyer sort of moves God from being this distant, maybe judging entity out there to being an imminent loving presence inside each person. His phrase, pieces of God, is powerful. We aren't just visiting God or praying to God. We are expressions of the divine.
Which is incredibly empowering. It means you stop seeking divinity externally, trying to earn it or find it somewhere else.
And you realize you already possess that infinite source of creativity, love, and intelligence within you.
Dyer was such a master of the memorable line, wasn't he? Those succinct, powerful declarations that just offer an immediate perspective shift.
Oh, absolutely. Little nuggets of wisdom.
Let's look at maybe three that really defined his message in this book. The first one probably is most famous. You are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience.
That one just stops you in your tracks, doesn't it?
It totally reframes everything. It shifts the focus from trying to fix our temporary human life, which is full of ups or downs, to embracing our eternal divine nature within that life. If you view hardship as just something the spiritual being is experiencing while wearing the human suit, the stress around it diminishes massively.
Okay, the second classic one, which applies to absolutely everything. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Simple but profound. It highlights the incredible power of perspective.
Yeah. It asserts that reality, or at least our experience of reality, is deeply responsive to the level of consciousness we bring to it.
So if your default setting is lack or fear,
you will genuinely see lack and fear everywhere. It confirms itself.
Yeah.
But if you can cultivate a genuine perception of abundance, wholeness, possibility, well, that starts to show up more too.
And the third quote, linking acceptance with peace. Peace is the result of retraining your mind to process life as it is, rather than as you think it should be.
Ah, that's the core of surrender right there.
The entire process summed up, like, stop fighting reality.
Retrain the mind to accept what is. That's where peace is found.
Okay, so this all sounds great, but how do we actually do this? How do we integrate these profound ideas into our messy, busy daily lives?
Well, Dyer provides clear, actionable steps. The first one is pretty straightforward. Mindfulness and thought observation.
Just noticing your thoughts.
Exactly. He suggests taking little awakening breaks throughout the day, just moments where you pause, stop what you're doing, and notice the ego mind's endless chatter. What's it saying right now?
And the key is without judgment.
Crucial. Just observe it, like watching clouds drift by, creating that little space between the thought and the awareness of the thought. That's where your freedom lies.
And doing that practice, it must fundamentally transform relationship dynamics, right?
Oh, absolutely. If you start approaching relationships from a state of inherent wholeness within yourself, rather than from neediness or wanting your partner to complete you or fix you, everything changes.
You stop trying to change them.
You stop trying to change them. Dyer champions the practice of loving what is, accepting your partner, your family member, your friend, exactly as they are in this moment. It replaces that exhausting and usually futile project of trying to improve or fix them, which leads to way more intimacy and acceptance, ironically.
And professionally, he talks about right livelihood. What does that mean in this context?
I mean, applying that concept, we discuss preference over attachment to your work and your goals.
Okay.
You have to really look honestly at your motivation. Is your work driven primarily by fear and ego-like, the need for security, status, approval? Or is it driven more by love and the soul, a genuine desire for service, contribution, expressing your unique gifts?
So livelihood is work that aligns with your soul's purpose, not just feeding the ego's endless hunger for more.
Precisely. And he argues that operating from that place of service actually reduces the financial anxiety that grips so many people.
How so?
Because when your primary focus is service, you start to trust that the universal flow, or source, will provide what you need to continue that service. You let go of the desperate need to control and hoard.
Wow. Okay. For me, what really stands out from this deep dive is the profound radicalness of his simplicity. It feels almost too simple sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The most powerful takeaway for me is that awakening requires nothing to be acquired. There's no special technique you have to master, nothing you need to buy. The relief comes just in recognizing our inherent completeness. We are already whole right now.
And that realization is the key. You know, awakening is kind of paradoxical. It's
yeah.
Instantaneous, that sudden flash of recognition. Oh, that's who I am. And it's also gradual. It's the lifelong, moment-by-moment process of integrating that truth into our daily, often messy human experiences.
The practice part.
The practice part. The crucial task is just to embody that recognition every single day. Turning the inevitable personal challenges, the difficult meeting, the argument with a loved one, the unexpected bill, into opportunities. Opportunities to practice surrender, to choose presence, to remember who we really are beneath the drama. And, you know, this raises an important question, I think. If accepting our own inherent completeness is the first step towards real compassion, how can we then use that grounded sense of wholeness to better serve others, to actually contribute to the collective healing and evolution of consciousness?
That's a powerful thought to consider as you move forward with your day. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acontra Foundation.